morning. Just reading this morning, taken from the book of Numbers, the chapter 20, and I'll be reading verses 2 through 5. Numbers 20, 2 through 5, I'll be reading from the New King James. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brothers died before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink."
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunities that we have to be with one another. We're thankful for the song, thankful for the prayer, thankful for the scripture reading, all those that have helped this day. Thankful for our teachers. So many people would be thankful for. I will re-emphasize again those slips in the back, those update slips. We're just trying to update things as best we can. Terry is doing, I think, some excellent things behind the scenes, and hopefully that'll come into fruition in the next few weeks. But one of those pieces is there's a lot of ground to lay before we can do those things that we want to do. So please update those sheets, because we know over the last, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. It doesn't take too long before perhaps a phone number changes, an address changes. We've had people that have been married. We have people that have been added to our family, have been baptized into Christ. We've had new babies, so we're just trying to keep everything up to date. So that flip is for your household, your family. Update everybody that's a part of your family. If you can think of anybody else that we would need their address, contact information, certainly you can add those as well. But certainly update those as you have opportunity, and please get those back so we can move forward in the right direction when it comes to some of those initiatives and some of those things. We're going to be spending most of our time in Numbers chapter 20, if you'd like to turn over there. Certainly a lot of background, but so many things we can learn from the Old Testament. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says whatever things were written before were written for our learning. So we're trying to learn from the Old Testament, take those lessons away, apply them to ourselves, so that we can become better followers of God. But catching up on the situation at hand, we have Moses and Aaron who are leading the Israelites. And if you remember, the Israelites were in Egypt. And they were slaves in Egypt, and Moses is basically selected to be the primary leader, although we have Aaron there as well, a kind of support system there. And they go to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, and we have the plagues, and they cross the Red Sea, and they go into the wilderness. And they travel through the wilderness for a period of time, Moses and Aaron leading them, and they get to the edge of the Promised Land. The Israelites are at the edge of the Promised Land. Moses and Aaron are trying to lead, and they send spies into the Promised Land. Those spies return. Joshua and Caleb say, "We can take the land." Yes, they have fortified cities. Yes, they have strong men, but we believe we can take the land. Everybody else said, "No, we can't take the Promised Land. We're not strong enough. We don't have," or whatever their reasons were. God was not really satisfied by this response from the children of Israel. I think he was really looking for them to have faith, to really believe that with God on their side, they could conquer the Promised Land. So God actually lays down a punishment. He says, "Children of Israel, you did not really paraphrase it. You didn't believe you could take the Promised Land, so you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Everyone over 20 is going to die." Everyone over 20 is going to die. The children of Israel, they just got out of Egypt. They just crossed the wilderness. They got to the edge of the Promised Land, and God lays this down. The children of Israel go back into the wilderness after they try to take the Promised Land they're defeated, after God lays this down, and they are wandering in the wilderness. So a generation, really, is going to die over this period of time. So really, we're dealing with a new generation. A new generation that is going to take on the Promised Land, because the first generation did not believe that they could take the Promised Land. And we're really catching up with this transition from the first generation to the second generation, I believe, here in Numbers chapter 20. What is going on in Numbers chapter 20 is the children of Israel are in the wilderness, and they don't have, as we see in verse 2, as Mickey read for us, there's no water. There's no water, which is certainly a hard situation, but it looks like the children of Israel, they have been through a whole lot with God. I think it's reasonable to think that God will get them through this, but then they start to complain. And they actually go against their leaders. We see that they are gathering against Moses and Aaron. They're complaining, saying there's no water. And they even go beyond that. They get a little bit dramatic. They said, well, why did we even come out of Egypt? Did you bring us out here to die? I think they're being a little bit dramatic. God has taken care of them. God has been with them. I think that they're going to be fine. But they're complaining against their leaders. Now, that's something that we have to think about as Christians in the New Testament. Do we give our leaders a hard time? Do we try to help our leaders, our elders, when they ask for help, when they ask for assistance, when they try to start an initiative or a goal moving forward? Are we there to support? Are we there to complain? Certainly, it looks like the children of Israel are giving Moses and Aaron a hard time. A hard time. The solution is going to be in relation to a rock. If God is going to give Moses some instructions in relation to a law that the children of Israel are going to be able to have water. What I would like to bring to your attention is this is not the first time that God has went through this process. When Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were in kind of the wilderness the first time. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, we actually have a first situation where the children of Israel are on their way to the promised land for the first time, and they don't have water, and God actually gives instructions to Moses then how to get water out of the rock. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb. You shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, and the people may drink. The first situation, when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, he tells Moses to strike the rock. Here in Numbers chapter 20, he's going to give a different direction, different instruction. So this is like almost like a replay of something that's already happened in the past, but there's different directions. The first time in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, Moses is supposed to strike the rock. He's the leader of the people of Israel, and the water will come out through the power of God. The second time in Numbers chapter 20, we have really another generation on our hands. We have a generation that has rebelled, a generation that is being brought up, and I think that there's perhaps reasons that God gives different instructions for this group. So let's get into it and let's see what's going on in this situation and take it one step at a time. I think the people are being very hard on Moses. In fact, we can read other places where I think this war on Moses. I mean, leaders are only human. Moses was a great leader, but he's only human. In Psalm 106, verses 32 and 33, it said, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. You know, it's hard sometimes on leaders when they don't have the best followers. Now, that's not an excuse for what Moses is about to do, but certainly we want to be good followers and try to not give our leaders a hard time. So let's get into the text. Verses 6 through 8. Continuing where Mickey led off. If we're going to see the directions that are given to Moses, do you receive directions from time to time? Yes, we do. Verse 6, it says, then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of the meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. We see the instructions from God. We see that the people are complaining, the people are giving Moses and Aaron a hard time, and what do the leaders do? It looks like they basically pray. The leaders, as they're trying to address the situation, they go and they pray, and they're asking God for help and assistance, and God gives them instructions. They say, I want you to gather the whole congregation together. I want you to gather all the people together. And before the people, what do I want you to do? Speak to the rock. Now, this is different than Exodus chapter 17. Different situation, different place, different direction. Different direction. He's given direction to speak to the rock. You think that God has a reason why he wants the whole congregation there?
He dealt with a new generation. The first generation, they went up. They didn't believe they could take the promised land. And he said, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. We're in that wandering. And he says, when this rock comes forth, I want the whole congregation to see it. And I am telling you exactly what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the rock.
I think there's things to be admired about Moses and Aaron. Moses is going to make mistakes here down the line, but we do see some good things that he's doing. Is there's a problem that arises, and what does he do? He goes to God in prayer about it. God knows their issues. He knows their struggles. We see that the instructions entail really this generation before all the people they are going to see. Moses speaks to the rock, and water is going to come forth. Do we understand the directions? Are they simple and clear? Even though this is an Old Testament story that we can read about, we can understand, and we can put ourselves into the situation, we understand that we receive directions today underneath the New Testament. A lot of times the directions that we receive are simple and clear. A lot of times people say, we can't understand the Bible alike. We can't all come to the same conclusion. And what I would say is you really need to think about who's giving the directions. Who's giving the directions here? God's giving the directions. A lot of times when we have trouble with directions, it's not because of God, it's because of us. It's because we don't want to hear what the directions are. We don't want to hear what God has to say on a topic. Will we listen to the directions of God? I think His directions are simple and clear. Verse 8, take the staff and the assembly of the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. The directions are simple and clear. And what I would suggest is many times the directions in the Bible are simple and clear. And what we have to ask ourselves is why don't we follow the simple and clear directions of our Lord? I believe we can come to the same conclusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul was pleading for that. He says, now I plead with you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Will you listen to the directions of God? The directions are simple and clear. God did not give Moses something that he did not understand. God did not give Moses instructions that were complicated. That is not what God did. It is critical that we obey and do exactly what God says. Don't add to what God says. Don't take away from what God says. Just follow the instructions that are given. I think Moses has done a lot of good things up to this point. The people are against him. He goes to God in prayer. He receives the instructions from God. And I actually think he is going to follow those directions for a period of time. But he's eventually going to get to a point where he's not going to follow those directions fully. Let's continue in the text, verses 9 through 11. We have the directions. It doesn't take us too long to go over the directions. They're right there. Take the staff and the assembly, assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Let's pick up in verse 9. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Everything's going well. Moses is doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's taking his staff and he's doing that as the Lord commanded him. Verse 10. It says that Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Moses follows some of these instructions, doesn't he? He follows a few of them. He says, hey, he takes the staff. We see that they're supposed to gather the assembly together. Verse 10, he gathers the assembly together. They're before the rock. And then Moses starts speaking. Hear now, you rebels. Shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Now, it might be a small thing, but when I look at that and I read that, it seems like Moses is almost trying to take a little credit for himself more than God. He might be frustrated by the situation. He might be irritated by the situation. He might be flustered because he doesn't believe the people should be having this complaint. But underneath that situation, I think that he gets a little lost. And he forgets where this blessing is really going to come from. And it might be a small thing, but I feel like there should be some reference to God as he's before the congregation, which I think there's a purpose there. We're dealing with another generation. What does the generation need to see? They need to see some miraculous things in relation to God. They understand that God is on their side. I think they've probably seen 20 and have heard 20, but I think God was doing this intentionally. The people are struggling. The people are complaining, and God wants them to see the water come forth in a miraculous way based off of God getting the glory. And it looks like Moses, perhaps, is trying to take some of God's glory. Verses 9 and 10, it looks like Moses follows some of the direction. But then all of a sudden, instead of speaking to the rock, we see that Moses strikes the rock. He says, we. We don't really see a mention to God. And he doesn't really do what God says. When we don't follow direction from God, why do we not follow direction? Is it because we think we know better? Is it because we don't want to do what God has said? I mean, that's something to dissect. Because when we look at the directions, right, we know that they're simple and clear. They're simple and clear. We can all understand that. Speak to the rock. Those are clear and simple directions. So when there's clear and simple directions, and we don't think that it's an issue with understanding, then why not follow the directions? Was it pride? Was it arrogance? Was it frustration? Regardless, he certainly made a mistake here. In James chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Certainly, God deserves some credit, and it looks like that Moses has stepped in here, and it's almost like he's snatching some glory for himself. We are going to be the ones that bring this water out of the rock. I'm not going to follow the directions of God. And certainly he does not follow the directions of God. He strikes the rock, the water comes out, and some people might say, hey, no big deal, right? Water came out of the rock. Wait, what are we missing? He didn't follow God's directions. You know what? There's a lot of things that we can accomplish, but we can violate what the Bible says. Does that make sense? There's a lot of things that people can accomplish on the outside and say, oh, look at this and look at this. These results are comparable, but if we get to the result by not following God's directions, we've made a mistake. And that's what Moses has done here. He has not followed the directions, but some say, hey, they still got water. Fantastic. They still got the result. But he didn't do it the right way. He did not give glory to God. He did not follow the directions which were given. Now, it's a big deal. It's the difference between obedience and disobedience. See, Moses broke what God said. He violated what God said. And I think we see a pattern that comes out in Scripture here. Is we see clear directions are given. We see disobedience to what God has said. God said to speak to the rock. Moses decides he's going to strike the rock. And you know what happens when God gives clear directions that are understandable and they're disobedient? You know what happens typically? Discipline. Moses is going to be disciplined for this. And you know what's going to happen to Moses? He is not going to go into the promised land. Now you think about that for a moment. Moses, who certainly had a lot of excuses and perhaps confidence things that he struggled with. He didn't necessarily want to be God's person to go and get the Israelites out of Egypt, but he goes. The man who's got to see all these plagues and had his hand as God's almost administrator, as his vessel to get the people out of Egypt. Moses, who took them across the Red Sea. Moses, who led them across the wilderness. Moses, who stood at the edge of the promised land and saw the lack of faith in the Israelites and then going back into the wilderness. Moses is this great leader who made a mistake. A mistake that would cost them the promised land. Look at verses 12 and 13. He did not follow the Lord's directions. Water still comes out. Verse 12, it says, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Now, what I appreciate about that verse is I do think it helps to give us God's point of view on the situation. Because when God responds, says, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land that I have given. It's almost like he's saying, Moses, you took some of my glory. Is the credit should have went to me. The credit should not have gone to you. And certainly in that situation, a lot of people could have perceived it was Moses who, by striking the rock, was the one that brought water to the children of Israel. Not giving credit to God, not giving glory to God. And this second generation that's going to go into the promised land, I think God knew that they needed to see something like this. But Moses did not listen. He did not follow the directions which were given. And we do see, I believe, in verse 12, discipline that is laid out by God. So they did not believe in God. You understand that believing and obeying go hand in hand? See, that might throw somebody off, right? It says, well, you didn't believe in God. Well, if somebody tells you to do something and you don't do it, to some degree there's a disconnect there. Receiving the directions and going the directions, they go hand in hand. So when it says they did not believe in God, do we understand that believing is not just kind of a feeling or anything? Believing is understanding what's said and doing it. And really, that's the definition of faith. Is when we look at the people of faith in the Bible, they heard what God said and they did it. They heard what God said and did it. Noah received instructions from God to build the ark. He heard it and he did it. Abraham was told to leave his home. He heard it and he did it. Faith is when we hear what God says and we do it. And when we don't follow the simple directions which are given, we understand the disconnect that can cause. The children of Israel should have got to see God and got to see God's glory that day. It's almost like Moses took some of God's glory. It's almost like he took some of the credit. Be careful that you don't take God's glory. Now, I find this to be quite interesting because when we look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, it tells us that God gave us life, breath, and all things. What can you really take credit for in this life? I mean, all glory to God. Isn't that the truth? Our abilities, when we sing to God, I mean, we think about that. We can certainly have talents, but all those talents come from God. Somebody can certainly preach the gospel, but all those talents come from God. Somebody can help and assist, and all those come from God. We can certainly work, and we can give monetarily, but all those blessings come from God. What can we take that we can say, oh, I've got 100% credit for this? When God gives us life, breath, and all things. Don't get in the business of trying to take God's glory. Can you do what the Lord instructs you to do? Are you trying to give God the credit at every opportunity? God is first. It's not necessarily our want. It's not necessarily our wishes. A lot of times, perhaps we get the wrong picture of Christianity. Is all glory goes to God, who saved us, who died for us, who has done all for us, and given us every physical and spiritual blessing. Is it possible that we dishonor God when we don't give God the credit for the things which have been done? You know, it's a simple idea. But perhaps it's one that people through all periods of history have struggled with. Can you follow simple directions? The directions are not complex. The directions are not written so that you cannot understand. And if we don't follow the directions which are given, we have to ask ourselves a question. Why do we not follow the directions which are given? I think Moses made a mistake on that day. He disobeyed God. He did not follow the directions which God has given. And it's interesting how people handle directions, isn't it, in the religious world? A very common one that we hear many times is, well, God didn't say not to, right?
That's a very common one that I hear in religious discussions all the time. Well, God didn't say not to do this, but He told you what to do. And by telling you what to do, that's what you should do. And not try to play with God's direction and say, I'm going to add here and take away here because I don't really like what God has said. You think that would work for Moses in this situation? If he'd go to God and say, God, I know you told me to speak to the rock. I struck the rock, but you didn't tell me not to strike the rock, God. No, we know that wouldn't work for Moses, and I don't think it'll work for us today. And I don't think many people in the religious world are trying to fall into a similar trap as Moses. If God's instructions are very clear, they're simple, they're not complex, but yet we want to play with God's direction. We want to say, it's okay, I'm just going to change it a little bit. And a lot of people look at this situation, and that's exactly what they say. Man, God is being harsh on Moses, is He not? He makes this one mistake where he doesn't follow the directions and he knows he's going to go into the promised land. Were the directions simple and clear? Were they understandable? Did God give him an opportunity to follow through with those directions which were given? People are playing very dangerous games with God's word. In fact, we would look at Moses if he went to God, and wouldn't we say they're foolish? Wouldn't we say Moses is foolish? If Moses went to God and said, God, you don't understand. I know you told me to speak to the rock, and I struck the rock, but you didn't tell me not to strike the rock, so that's got to be okay, God. You know what God says? Not okay. You're not going to go into the promised land. We could certainly come up with many New Testament examples that we can come up with. Certainly, singing comes to mind, right? A lot of times when it comes to singing to our Lord, every example we have in the New Testament is singing. That's it. God told us to sing. Well, He didn't tell us not to use instruments. He didn't say it's not to, so that must be okay, right? What did He tell us to do? What did He tell us to do? And when we do that, simple and clear directions, let's not play with the directions of God, because we might end up in a similar situation as Moses, where God says you didn't follow the simple directions, you will be disciplined. It's interesting how we can see stuff in other people's situations, but we can't see it in our own situation. Can you see parts in your life where God has given simple and clear directions, but for whatever reason you don't want to follow? You're trying to add to or take away from what God has said? Can you find those situations in your life? Why did Moses do it? Was it for glory? Did he think that he knew better? Did he think that something was flawed with the directions that God had given? You know, I think a lot of times when we violate God's direction, it does come down to our pride, and that's very hard for people to swallow. Why do we not want to have our congregation organized like this? Is it because we think we know better than God? We think we're better off without elders? We think we're better off without deacons? We think we're better off without worshiping the way that God has laid out? We think we're better? We think we know better? Or perhaps we're just trying to bring glory to ourselves. Perhaps in the religious world, some need to look in the mirror and ask themselves the question, am I trying to bring glory to God? Because let me tell you this, we cannot bring glory to God if we don't follow His direction. Oh, I'm bringing glory to God. You're not doing what He said. Moses, does Moses bring glory to God when he struck the rock? He didn't do what God said. That's not bringing glory to God. But yet we have people in the religious world who will run around and say, I'm bringing glory to God. You're not doing what He said. Was Moses bringing glory to God when he did not do what God said? No. And we cannot go down and say we're bringing glory to God when we will not follow the simple instructions that are given. Can we follow the instructions that are given by God? I mean, this is a lesson for everyone. It's for preachers, it's for people in worship, it's every category. God has given us life, breath, and all things. He deserves all credit at all times. Whatever we do, let it all be for the glory of God, and we can bring glory to God when we follow His instructions. But when we don't follow His instructions, you throw God's glory out the window. When you say, God, I don't care enough to do what you said, that's not bringing glory to God. You can find many examples in the Old Testament. Certainly we think of Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10, we have Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu are the sons of Aaron. And I'll just read a few verses there. It says they had the censer to put fire in it, to lay incense on it, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. We have Nadab and Abihu, and they are going to offer fire to the Lord, which the Bible says was not commanded. And what happened? They are immediately disciplined. Did God give these individuals instructions on how to get this fire? I believe so. These individuals thought, you know what? God told us how to get the fire, but we're just going to do it our own way, or it says strange fire. There's a lot that can go in there. We're not going to do what God said. We're going to do it our own way. And we see the discipline of God, very severe in this case. We see that they're consumed by the fire. Nadab and Abihu did not have a chance to say to God, well, God, you didn't tell me not to do it. No, he told you what to do. And when God tells us what to do, we better do those things which he has commanded, which he has said. People that don't know the directions of God will get you in trouble. So we do all kinds of different ways. But say, why don't we try this? Why don't we try this? Why don't we try this? In fact, we're being motivated and driven in a totally opposite way of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us to go to God and say, God, what are your instructions? And then we follow those instructions to the best of our ability. Are we following those instructions to the best of our ability? A lot of times, perhaps you're similar to me, is you get something and the direction's not necessarily the first thing you look at. You're like, I can figure this out myself. It's a mistake. A few screens later, a few boards later, all of a sudden you're looking, that doesn't quite look like the picture. Do we treat our spiritual lives like that? We wait until we get the map and then say, let's look at what God has to say about this. Or we proactive and says, what are the instructions of God? Because if we can know the simple and clear instructions of God, they'll keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. They'll keep us out of making all kinds of mistakes. And certainly we can continue in the right direction. If you were in Moses' situation, what would you do? It's easy for us to be hard on Moses. It's easy for us to jump on Moses and say, Moses, what are you doing? God gives you clear and concise directions. What would you do in Moses' situation? Would you speak to the rock, or would you strike the rock? Well, this doesn't have to be a hypothetical situation. Because you understand that God gives you direction each and every day from the New Testament. Do we follow the clear directions that God has given? Each and every day, you have an opportunity. Each and every day, you are put in Moses' situation. God has given us clear instructions, and the question is, will we do those things which he has said, or will we not do those things which he said? Will we break what God has said? And why will we break such things? People struggle with this in a lot of different areas when it comes to Christianity. When it comes to the Old Testament and the New Testament, one thing about following directions, you got to follow directions that are for you, right? God did not talk to me and tell me to speak to a rock. He told Moses to speak to a rock. We have to follow the directions that are for us. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, you are severed from Christ. You, who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Many individuals wish that wasn't there because they focus on grace. They hammer on grace. Certainly it's an element of the Bible, but they don't want to say you can fall from grace. But what's the idea here? If you're following instructions that are not for you, and people fall into that trap sometimes. God did not tell me to speak to a rock. God did not tell me to walk around the walls of Jericho. God did not tell me to build an ark. He did not tell me to do those things. But what has God told me to do in the New Testament? Will I follow those things? And do we understand that there's a parallel there? That if I'll do the things that he tells me to do in the New Testament, I will do those things that he told me to do in the Old Testament if I was in that situation. But there's a lot of people that want to say, I'm not going to do these things in the New Testament, but if I was back there, I would walk around the walls of Jericho. I'm not going to follow these things in the New Testament, but if I was back there with Noah, I would have built that ark. I'm not going to follow what's in the New Testament, but I can tell you what, Kyle, if I was there where Moses was, and I was told to speak to the rock, I would speak to the rock, and I would not strike it. Would you? Do you follow the directions that are for you? Do you follow the directions in the New Testament? Certainly that's something that we need to think about each and every day. We understand the Old Testament was nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. We can learn from it, but those directions are not from you. And when we try to take those old directions and try to apply them underneath the New Testament, that is a problem. Because you're trying to take directions that are not for you. When you follow the directions that are for you, that are simple and clear. When we look at the pattern of the New Testament, we hear individuals, see individuals hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the remission of sin. That's the pattern which we see.
I don't think it has to be complicated. I don't think it has to be long. But when you deal with what God has said, perhaps you've wandered away from the straight and narrow path and need to come back. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. If you're subject to temptation anyway, we ask you please come as we stand as we sing.